May the God of hope fill you with peace and joy as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's word before us this morning as we celebrate the Lutheran Reformation comes from the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 3. We begin with verse 16. As always, I encourage you to open up your pew Bible, have it open while the text is being read, and then leave it open during the course of the sermon for reference back to Scripture. Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, pew Bible, page 884. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." God's words before us this morning. "I could see the smoke 12 miles away," John Gerda wrote on May 31st of this year. "I was coming home from Oak Creek, and as I drove off I-94 toward Bayview, a broad plume of black smoke was spreading out from a point that seemed to be somewhere in downtown Milwaukee. This, I thought, must be a big one. When I got home and turned on the news, there it was, a 4-alarm fire that had engulfed Trinity Lutheran Church on 9th and Highland. Paul Demsack of nearby St. John's Lutheran Church came to see the damage, and this is what he said. It's awful to lose a place of worship to fire. It's where people have marked important things in their lives, baptisms, confirmations, weddings, anniversaries, funerals. It's a home. It's a church home," he said. Last spring, the members of Trinity Lutheran Church learned the hard way that their church was not fireproof. Is there a way for us to fireproof our church so that destruction and damage like this doesn't take place? I suppose we could decide to build our structures out of nothing more than concrete and steel. But that means you folks would have to sit in park-like metal benches. And what about the hymnal? We could always go back to the old clay tablets, which they used to use, but one hymnal would consist of 900 of these clay tablets. Try stuffing that in the book rack in front of you. What would we do for an organ? I think it's pretty clear to us that there are some things in life that we cannot fireproof, right? What about our faith? Have you ever wondered that there might be a way that you could fireproof your faith? Have you wondered if your faith was up to the test of cancer, divorce, bankruptcy, the death of a child, mom's death, dad's death? What if our government were to insist that you deny your faith in Jesus and worship instead the president of the land? And then added to that command that if you didn't, you would lose your life. Can you fireproof your faith for things like that? In our text this morning, three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did just that, even though it meant being thrown into a blazing furnace. How did they remain cool when the heat was on? How did Martin Luther stand fast when he was faced with powers and princes and pope? How did these historical figures fireproof their faith? Today, on this day when we celebrate what God did some 500 years ago in using his servant Martin Luther to restore the pure gospel to his church, let's find out how we can fireproof our faith. What time is it? It's time for us to undergo a personal reformation. As we saw so vividly in the video this morning, let's let go of our ego and let's lay hold of our God. Let's pray. Blessed Jesus, at your word, we are gathered all to hear you. Let our hearts and souls be stirred now to seek and love and fear you. By your teaching, sweet and holy, drawn from earth to love you solely. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or as we sometimes kid around, to bed we go, were three young Jewish men who were carried off from Judah into captivity in Babylon under the kingship of Nebuchadnezzar. One day, their regular routine was interrupted when they were summoned to appear before this 90-foot statue of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had erected in his honor. This would have been Nebuchadnezzar's version of a team-building exercise. Every civil servant was commanded to bow down to and worship this golden statue, and anyone who disobeyed would be thrown into a blazing, a fiery furnace. Now, this was no idle threat. Nebuchadnezzar had done this before, and to kind of put an exclamation mark at the end of his command, just down the road from the statue was a furnace that already was emitting plumes of smoke. What do you think was running through the minds of these three men when they were commanded by the king to obey his command or give up their lives? Did they think to themselves, you know, we're so young. We're really not that old, and if we give in to the command of the king and our... If we don't give in to the command of the king, then we're going to die. Our lives will be for nothing. Did they ask themselves, but God has plans for us, and if we die, God can't use us for the good of his people? Or did they think along these lines, you know, we don't really believe in this statue or want to worship it, but if we just do this outwardly, it's okay. God understands, and even if we are sinning, if we are doing something wrong, we can always ask God to forgive us later on. Do you see the problem with these types of questions? They're all inward focused. They're all selfish. They're all self-centered. Were these three guys really indispensable in God's plans for his people? Did they really think that God couldn't get along without them? Of course he could. God is absolutely independent of anyone and anything and doesn't need our input or our actions to accomplish his will. So what were these three men supposed to do? Since they knew that their reason for living was not just to stay alive, but to glorify God with their lives, that's what they did. Well, everyone else around them was giving in to the command and bowing down and worshiping the statue. They stayed standing with hearts pounding, I'm sure. It makes you think of Martin Luther as he stood before the authorities of church and government. It didn't take very long for their actions to be reported to the king. And the king was furious, our text says, and demanded these three men now appear before him. And this is what he said: "If you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Now, it's one thing to disobey the king when you're down the road from him, far away, but what about when you're standing face to face with him? Remain cool, that's what. In measured tones and with very carefully chosen words, showing their utmost respect for the king in his position as their appointed representative from God, but at the same time not giving in to his command to bow down and worship his statue, this is what they said: "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." My goodness, what a bold response. Under no circumstances was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going to give in to the king's command. Oh, yes, they understood the consequences. And no, they had no special promise from God that he was going to preserve them or save them miraculously from the fire. But that didn't matter. If God wanted to rescue them, then that's what he would do. They were simply to obey him. That was their job. What made for this fireproofed faith on the part of these three men? Two things. They let go of their ego and they lay hold of their God. Do you realize how contrary to our natural way of thinking that is? All too often, we think way too much of ourselves and not nearly enough of God. We get into this trap of thinking that our only reason for living is to save our skin at all costs. We spend more time planning a family vacation than we do pondering how we might be of service to the Lord in his work. We spend gobs of money trying to win the lottery, but we spend very little time teaching our children good stewardship practices and taking care of our family's finances. We tend to twiddle our thumbs away in doubt and worry, but so seldom put our hands together in prayer. We'll make all kinds of adjustments to make time to get the kids to this practice or that tournament or this or that, but when it comes to making time to listen to what God has to say to us in his word, that's always at the bottom of the pile. We need to hear, we need to heed what Jesus says: "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" These three young men were ready and willing to forfeit their lives here to hold on to their souls for eternity. That doesn't mean that they didn't cringe in fear when they saw and heard the flames just pouring out of the furnace. What should have happened, the whoosh of their clothes consumed, the acrid smell of their hair burning, and these cries and shouts of pain coming out of the furnace, never happened. These three guys who were bound tightly with ropes weren't writhing around on the bottom of the furnace, but they're walking around casually, almost as if they're inspecting a piece of art at the museum or a piece of fruit at Pick and Save. And what's even more, there weren't three guys walking around in the furnace. There were four. The fourth one, according to Nebuchadnezzar, looks like a son of the gods who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. Now, this very probably was the angel of the Lord, Jesus in his Old Testament form, who was there with these three men, guarding and protecting his children from all evil and defending them against all danger. Nebuchadnezzar was absolutely dumbfounded. He was nonplussed. Upon closer inspection, it appeared to everyone, it was clear that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not burned. There was no smell of smoke on them. Their hairs weren't singed. Last night before church, I had to stop over at the Fitzsimmons to give something to our principal. And there was somebody in the neighborhood east of there who was burning leaves, I'm assuming. And that smell was still on me when I walked into church. These three men came out of the furnace unscathed and unsmoked. Clearly, God's loving and powerful hand saved these men from the foolishness and pride of Nebuchadnezzar. Will God do the same for you? Will God do the same for me? If we are faithful to him and obey his commands, will God keep us safe? Now, when I asked that question last night, there were all kinds of heads that were down. And when I said, not necessarily, all these heads popped up. Not necessarily. We have no promise from God that he's going to keep us from these trials and these sufferings and these things that happen in life. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no guarantee from God that he was going to preserve them, save them in the way that he did. In fact, God tells us just the opposite in his word. He says we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. You show me a promise in God, in Scripture, where God says that our lives here on earth will be a bed of roses. And so fireproof your faith. It's time for personal reformation. It's time to let go of your ego and lay hold of your God. Resist the temptation to compromise the truth of God's word just to keep peace in the family or at work. Or in the relationship. If you have to endure some flames as a result, so be it. God will see you through those flames. The Apostle Peter was inspired to write, "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Doing things God's way isn't always the easy way, but it's always the best way. Martin Luther discovered that when he took his stand on the Word of God before emperor and the church. Did Luther feel the heat when he was commanded by the emperor of the empire to recant, to give up everything he had said and written? You better believe he did. He had to go into hiding for 8 months at the Wartburg Castle as a result. And yet God used Luther and his time there at the Wartburg to allow him to translate the scriptures into the German language, the language of the people, that the people around Luther could understand and embrace the same truth that he did, that they are saved by God's grace through faith in their Savior Jesus Christ. That's not to say that every Christian will survive the fire. First century Polycarp, a bishop, was burned at the stake for his faith. In 1415, John Huss was burned at the stake for his faith in Jesus. But even in death, especially in death, God is close to you and me when we take our stand on his word. Jesus said to first century Christians, Christians just like you and me, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. I'm finding this more and more that as I approach texts from Scripture, it's hitting me that I've never preached on these texts before. This is the first time in almost 40 years that I've preached on this text from Daniel. And something hit me as I was going through this text in my preparation, and see if you can figure it out. Besides the soldiers who were burned in the fire, what's the only thing that the fire burned? Shout it out if you know the answer. The ropes, yeah. The only thing that the fire burned was the ropes that held Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tight. And so the only thing that death can destroy is the bond that tethers us to this sinful world. Now that's a bond I don't mind giving up. How can you and I be certain that we'll survive the fire unscathed? Because God has covered us in his Son's righteousness. His wrath against our sin has been removed from us forever. You see, in Jesus, God has fireproofed us from the eternal destruction that we should receive in hell. Now fireproof your faith. Let go of your ego and lay hold of God. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.